I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing a lot better. Major improvements in the physical therapy department.
Great. You seem better. You haven't mentioned your tennis elbow to me.
Nope.
So great.
Yeah.
So what's been going on? What's made it better?
I think time to some extent.
Time is the greatest physical therapist.
That's right.
Some might say.
That's right. That's right. It actually is. It is interesting that I was in Detroit for a stretch there for about 8 or 9 days.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get any physical therapy, and I did improve quite a bit while I was there. I think there were two things. One, we've discussed my personal physician, Dr. Marshmallow, in the past.
Oh yeah, Dr. Marshmallow.
Dr. Marsh, insisted that the best course of action for me would be to just stay in bed all the times where I wasn't doing something, obligatory.
Forever?
Basically, he wanted me in bed nonstop.
You got a doctor's note to say never get out of bed again?
He was basically like, you can die. Yeah,
you can die, but get up for food. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. He never even mentioned food. He mentioned this podcast and my my teaching work.
Does Dr. Marshmallow know about the podcast?
I tell everyone about the podcast.
Does he seem excited?
No, he doesn't care.
No, I mean, of course he doesn't.
He treated it with the same dispassion he treats my health with. So he told me to stay in bed, and then so finally, I was just getting worse and worse. It wasn't really helping me. And so I went in for, I was going in for weekly appointments, and so I went in and I said, Dr. Marshmallow. My body is turning into a sack of loose mashed potatoes. I need to do something about this.
I need to stand up sometimes.
He said, "Don't be silly. You're a sack of mushy peas." I said, "Oh well, either way you look at it, I gotta get some physical activity in my life, right?" And so we agreed I could go to physical therapy. And of course, once I got to physical therapy, they immediately told me that staying in bed was the worst thing I could have done because you're either a specialist or you know nothing, Dr. Marshmallow.
I feel like if you if you behave as though you are injured, you trick your whole body into thinking that you're injured worse than you actually are. Like if you stop moving, I think it makes the cells in your body think, oh, we're dying.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I also think it makes the rest of your body that isn't specifically injured start to compensate. And before long, those parts get injured as well.
Yes.
And then you really think you're dying, right?
Yes. Don't stay in bed all the time. That's never the right thing to do.
Never the right thing to do. But so I went to physical therapy and I had Dr. Fernando, who is who has the powerful hands of a butcher. The kind of guy, he looks kind of like the kind of guy who would choke you to death in a mob movie or something. He's got a hitman look to him. He's got these big, massive hands.
Does he have a smooth shaved head?
No, he doesn't. His face doesn't look a ton like a hitman. He just has hitman hands. Which is a term we're all familiar with, hitman hands.
Hitman hands? Yeah. Like Betty Davis eyes.
Yeah, Betty Davis eyes. Hitman hands, exactly. Yeah. So I was going to him. He was doing some nice work on me, and then he went out of town. And so this is not a can. A lady does manhandle me. She beats me. I call her Dr. Payne.
To her face? Does she love it?
She loves it.
Great.
She puts bruises on me on a regular basis and then asks to see them at the following session.
Wait, that's true?
Yeah, it's
100% true. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm more than okay.
There are places you can call for things like this.
I'm familiar with all of them. I call them on a regular basis. But No, I'm, you know, and you're not gonna like me saying this. I already just from knowing you all these years, you're not gonna like, I kind of like it.
No, I get that. Like, I like to like it, yeah. I've only gotten a massage a couple times, mm-hmm. and all of the times it's been bullshit. Like, yeah. It's been too soft, and I want that massage that people complain about where they're like, oh, yeah. It hurts so much. But then I felt better. Like, I have never been massaged hard enough that it hurt in a good way.
Try it. I mean, I've had some where I got hurt in a good way. And then there's this, which is, I think they call it myofascia or myofascia. Mm-hmm. And maybe I've described it here before. It sort of feels like they iron the knots out of your back and then push them down until
until they like fly out of your toes.
Yeah. Or, I mean, they seem to stop around the butt. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that they fly out your butt because one, it feels a little bit hack, but that's just where the pushing stops. They just push it down never felt such a loose back in my life. And I'm somebody who's probably prone to stress and it manifests in my back.
Me too. My shoulders are like a fucking wreck. They're just knots on knots.
My shoulder right is the one thing that's like that doesn't seem to be improving. And so like for the first time today, I tried to do like a push up just to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
And I could do every part of it except literally my right shoulder. Like every part of me went up and then my right shoulder just stayed on the ground. It was pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
And with that, let's start the show. it was terrifying. I think it's just. I think somebody has to heal me now. I think I passed the age where you just like magically heal all the time.
So physical therapy. A physical therapist needs to heal you. You're not saying you need like a spiritual healer to lay hands on your shoulder.
No, don't lay hands on me. I need to. It's one of those things, you know, I put off going to the doctor for a really long time just thinking, this thing will get better.
Yeah.
And then it didn't get better. Yeah. It actually got like much worse. Mm-hmm. You're sitting here in a neck brace. Almost ruptured a muscle in my forearm. Just because, here's the lesson learned from old Benny Boy. Don't wait. Get it checked out.
Don't wait.
Yeah.
Visit.
BSP physical therapy. Dr. Marshmallow.
Dr. Marshmallow. Don't visit Dr. Marshmallow. He's way too relaxed.
Visit Dr. Laura. Tell her Definitely Dying sent you.
Should we start the show?
Let's definitely start the show.
Great. We have a really awesome guest with us today. Her name is Pam Murphy. She's a friend. We performed on a sketch team at UCB called Bonafide for a long time. You can see her performing every Tuesday at 7 at UCB Franklin in Tuesday Club. She's in a million other shows. She's really just so funny and great and experienced. And you've seen her in TV shows that you like 30 Rock and Comedy Bang Bang and Another Period. And I just like her so much. Hi, Pam.
Oh, Madeline, that was such a nice intro. How sweet.
It's true.
Oh, thank you so much.
And now for my intro, Pam.
Great. Here we go. Oh, boy.
She's a real baller.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's fun. That's like if you're you're introing the TV show Baller.
She's right, yes. Yeah. You've seen her on Ballers, starring The Rock.
Yeah, I am The Rock.
It's Pam the Rock Johnson.
Welcome, Pam.
So, Pam, I'm going to start by asking you just the question that we lead all of our podcasts with.
Okay.
Just our light, fun, get-to-know-you question.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you say you fear death?
Oh, God. Huh. Well, I guess it depends on the day.
Okay.
How about today?
Today, it didn't cross my mind yet. Today,
you didn't think about death at all today?
Not yet. How much am I feared to? I don't know if I fear. I don't want it.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. I don't want it. I don't know if I'm as scared. I'm a scared. I don't know if I'm a scared.
I don't want it.
I don't want it.
But I need it.
Pam's take on death. I don't want it.
I don't want it. Well, might be a lack it. I don't know, seven, eight.
Yeah. That's pretty high.
Is it? Yeah. Right. People are like four.
A lot of people are like zero. Some people have said zero.
They get in car accidents, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think a zero is a 10. Like, I just think those people haven't put any thought into it, but the moment that they do, it's
going
to
10. Oh, no, here it comes.
But I think
they die in a very awful.
That was me.
Yeah, they're blinded by it. Right? Yeah, they're blindsided.
Yeah, I would much prefer to be surprised by death than to stew on it.
Oh yeah, no, me.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
10, 9, 8, 7, and then we count down, and my head just pops.
This is actually a really interesting hypothetical question that my husband Ben, not this Ben, asked me over the weekend. He said if like, you know, an angel or a magician or whatever came down and
a magician came down. Heaven. It's all it's Magic Castle. Yeah. That's heaven.
Came down and gave you two choices, or gave you the option to know, and said, like, you can know that you will live a healthy life until 80, or you can leave it up to chance and live, you know, maybe to 95, maybe to, you know, 55. Like basically, you can have your life as it is, or you can know that you will live until 80 pretty healthfully and then pack it up. Which one would you choose?
Well, I guess I wouldn't want to know.
I wouldn't either.
Right. Because I feel like if they were like, oh, you'll live a fine life. And well, I don't know now that I'm thinking about it. Okay, first of all, I would think I'd be really procrastinating everything and be like, I got all the time in the world. What am I, 50? Oh, I got 30 more years. I can do whatever I don't have to get that done today. It'll be tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, right?
Yeah.
So
I
think that would be really procrastinating. But then on the other hand, maybe I would, you know, be like, oh, I can go bungee jumping, like, because I know I will not die. Like, I can take any kind of risk that I want.
Actually,
I could get hurt. It doesn't say.
Yeah, you could get hurt.
Yeah. Arm or whatever.
But could you?
You could be like paralyzed.
I don't think you could. I think you would. I think no matter what happens to you, you're going to be back to normal the next day. It's almost like Groundhog Day.
I think that's like that's a different question of like, do you want to be like a superhero until you're 80?
Yes. The answer is yes.
I think I'd rather.
Then what happens? Then I'm a superhero.
I'd rather not know, but because I feel like if I knew that I was definitely going to die at 80, every birthday I would just be thinking about that's how many fewer
lives. Closer 80
is
getting.
Like, I think the way you measured your life would just change in a way that would ultimately make you sadder and much more aware of of your mortality every day.
Definitely. No, I would spend year 79, I would spend every day searching for this angel David Blaine that that gave me this, what I at the time considered to be a blessing, but it turned out to be a real curse.
Do you think you would believe it if it happened? It would be like, you also have to be like, I fully believe in this. This is truth.
Yeah.
Or that it is like proven to you that it's true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You'd like go through that part in a movie where you're like, you're not, you know, like in like those movies when like God comes in a robe and is like, you have the power to read minds.
Oh God, you devil. Right. Yeah. All that.
You're not God.
Yeah.
John Denver. Oh God.
Oh God is a truly bizarre fever dream of a movie.
Yeah. But it was a hit, I think.
Yeah. It was a hit.
I mean, they made a bunch more.
But I feel like maybe that was at a time when, like, nobody had ever seen a movie. And they were all like, oh my God, they're talking and walking around.
It was like, I think, a unique idea, right? I think it was a unique idea at the time.
It was insane.
That's the George Burns one, right?
Yeah. I watched it recently.
Yeah.
I used to love it because
I think it would be on like HBO constantly.
Yeah, I remember Ben was like, someone had said they really liked that movie. And so he was like, let's watch it. And we couldn't get through it. Because the whole movie, at least we watched at least an hour of it. And it was all just John Denver being like, but you're not God. But how could you be? If you're God, then prove it to me. And then George Burns just like trying to like logically prove to him that he's God.
Yeah, see that water over there? Yeah. I'm going to go walk in that water over there.
Yeah.
And then no one else, then him finally believing it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he ever got to that point.
No, he kind of started believing it. I think he started believing it when he was shaving in his bathroom.
Oh, and then he saw him in the mirror. Sorry, he didn't see him in the mirror.
Yeah, I remember he was like shaving. It was taking too long.
So here's my question about the 80 year and like how you made me think about it when you're like, oh, 79 is countdown. Okay. So do you have a clock in your car? Do you
yes.
have
like
a so
yes.
Does your...
Yes, I have a car. I have a normal car that was not built without a clock.
A grandfather clock? Yes. Go on. Tick-tock.
I don't drive a car that is such a base level, it didn't come with a radio or a clock.
Do you drive around with a grandfather clock in your car?
Yeah. You do?
In the event. But, okay, so I don't know if this is true about my car now, or I didn't notice about my last car. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but... I feel like my car now, it's always like a minute behind my iPhone. And then I'm like, is it iPhones? Is it because you trust iPhone time so much? And I'm constantly adjusting it. And I don't think it's like that it's, you know, 1:34 and 30 seconds and it keeps flipping because I've done it a bunch of times.
I keep adjusting my tune. It keeps getting behind.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I am like... Apple is robbing us of our lives. They're robbing us of time.
Like,
right?
What if it's like 3 years ago and we don't even know?
Whoa. Wait a minute. That makes this my 80th year.
Oh, God.
So, Pam, I want to kind of, like, cut to the chase and ask you about something specific. Because, like, so on this podcast, we talk a lot about, like, oh, my head hurts. I think I might be dying. Like, we're, like, sort of, like, whiny hypochondriacs.
I do no such thing. My head hurts. I mention it to other people. And then apparently that's the voice that I sound like.
No, that was, just to be clear, that's me doing my own voice.
That's me, too.
No, your voice is... baller.
Jeff's perfect spot. I didn't know who said that, actually.
I've got a headache, baller. And it's baller.
But Pam, you had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. You win.
Yeah.
I do. I'll tell you something funny about it.
Please tell me something funny about cancer. I'm just like sick of knowing all this sad stuff about cancer.
Yes.
Hit us with the top 10 funny things about cancer, and we're never going to believe number 6.
You know what? But like being a hypochondriac at the time. I didn't believe it. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go back in there. Because they were like, it was like all the signs pointed to, yes, it was, I guess, because I don't know. I don't know why. But anyway, it was like I had breast cancer, right? So I went, and my sister had it.
Oh, wow.
And then she found out she had like the gene or whatever, and which I ended up having. But like, I think I knew that. And I was just, I went to the doctor and I was like, oh, I just want to start getting mammograms early so I have, like, a base level. Because my sister is also 13 years older than me. So she was, like, older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, and she was like, oh, okay. And then she was also like, oh, you know, it was just a regular, you know, OBGYN. And she was like, oh, do you feel this lump? And I was like, huh? Oh, yeah, kind of. Huh, weird, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I was in a car accident, which I had been. I was like, maybe it's from, like, the seatbelt strap. Maybe, is that possible? Maybe it's just, like, a thing from the seatbelt strap.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, that's possible. Okay, well, you'll go get a mammogram, right?
Yeah.
So I went and got a mammogram, and then they were like, oh, we want to bring you back for a more detailed mammogram, like a stronger one or a more whatever one. And I was just like, okay, whatever, you know, like still.
You weren't worried. You didn't think it was. Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. I was just like, oh, this is dumb. Fine, I'll go. It would almost like would be one of those things where I was like, almost wouldn't go. Kind of, you know? So then I went back for that. And then they were like, oh, you know, there's something, but we just don't know what it is or whatever. And then they're like, oh, you know, you should probably get a biopsy. And I was like, all right, I'll get a biopsy. Like, okay, whatever, right? So then I go get a biopsy, which hurt like shit. It was really painful, right?
Ugh. But what was it? Is that a needle?
Oh, my
God. What do they do in a biopsy?
Oh, good gravy. It's a like a insane, like a big needle, like with a big gauge that has, it's like a needle, like huge.
Like it looks like a Halloween needle, like a needle you'd like bring with a costume if you're a nurse.
Very sharp. You know, I just remember it being very sharp. And it, so it's a needle, but it also has like, you know, it has like a vacuum attached to it. So it's like,
Sounds like a lawnmower.
And then because it's your boob and it's, I guess, hard to get into like the lump or whatever, they're like smushing it. They're like smushing it and being like, oh, God, it's hot. Get in there. Ah, you know, because they're trying to get like cells or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just, I was like, and there's no, there's like, lidocaine or whatever. A topical thing.
That's lidocaine is like what you put on a sunburn.
Right. So it's like, you know, it's like your boob is like, it's like 3 inches in or whatever. How far deep in your, it hurt like shit. And it was very bruised after, you know, it was very bruised. It was very painful. It was like, yowie. And then, so anyway, then I was like, all right, well, that sucked. Like, why'd I have to get that, you know, or whatever. And then I, like, forgot about it. And then, like, this was when I had, like, a landline. But it was, like, in my, like, it was kind of like a basement level that walked out or whatever. It was, like, on the bottom level.
Where were you living? Was this
in Jersey City.
Okay.
And, anyway, there was like a bunch of messages from the doctor.
Oh, no.
And she was just like, hi, you know, call me back, trying to get a hold of you. And the doctor left another message. And then the doctor left another message, like, still trying to get a hold of you, blah, blah, blah. And then the doctor was like, I'm getting on an airplane to go on vacation, but you can call me on my cell phone. Yikes. And so then I was like, oh, well, this isn't good. Like, this is, you know, screwed up. Like, something is, like, I definitely have cancer. Like, this sucks, right? So then I called the office, and I was like, the doctor called me and is going on vacation and was like, you know.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, don't worry. You're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Because I also thought they were like, we want to bring you in to get results. I think that I didn't think that they were just like, told you over the phone or whatever. Right. So and movies are wrong.
Wait, they do tell you over the phone?
Yes. They just told me that, like, first the nurse was like, or whoever the person at her office was like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. Just calm down.
Right.
Just relax or whatever.
And you were you freaking out on the phone at that point?
I was like, I was freaking out because I was like, I'm getting on an airplane. Like, what doctor calls you and gives you their cell phone?
No,
I've never gotten a doctor's cell phone ever in my life, right?
No.
And so then I was like, you know, so then I called her on her cell phone, like, while she was on vacation, and I guess she landed or whatever, and she was just like, we'll set up an appointment for you to, she was like, it came back positive. It's, I guess malignant is the bad kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. Like, and also too, they're like, you know, the thing about it too is that you're like, I gotta come in right now and get it out of me,
get it out of
me, kind of a thing. You know, you're like, that's what you think of, right? But, you know, it just depends. It's not necessarily, you know, like, you can wait a week.
So basically, you had to wait out your doctor's vacation to go back. So that vacation was like a week? And
yeah, I think it was like a week or something. And then I went in and then, you know, I went like with my friend and then they tell you like what's up and they give you different options and stuff like that.
So who's the first person that you called to talk
about
it?
You know, I don't know. That I actually don't remember. It might have been... probably my mom, maybe. Maybe my mom. Maybe I called my mom. But, like, I don't remember, actually. Yeah. But I remember I worked in the mortgage business, and I had a presentation. I was supposed to do, like, a big presentation the next day, and I canceled it. And then, like, I got in trouble for canceling it. Because the lady narked me out to my boss, which I knew was going to happen, but I was like, I have an emergency. I can't do, I need to reschedule it or whatever.
Yeah.
And I knew she was going to tell my boss. But like the great thing about it was my boss was such a, can I curse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So my boss was such an asshole, right?
Oh, not that word. Sorry.
Such a shithead.
That's better. Thank you.
And so, you know, he was like, you know, like whoever, Beverly called and said that, you know, and I was like, well, because I just found out I have cancer. He was like, oh my God, just now? You just found out? I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Take all the time you need. I didn't know. Oh,
that's like one of my
best. It was like the best. It was the best. It was the best. will not lie, it was the best. Oh. It was like so great to just be like, I was like ready for it too, because he had left me messages and was like, your voicemail's picking up right away, so I don't know where you are. Like a real jerk about it, you know? And I was just like, oh, baby, I cannot wait. I cannot wait, you know? It's like really
to
great.
Tell this asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have cancer.
Right, but also the same day that I found out I got my first commercial agent. I was supposed to go in and sign the papers that afternoon. I went and did. That I went and did. I got on the subway and I was like, crying. And I was like, I just have to keep it together. And then I was like, hi, nice to meet you. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. As soon as I walk out, I was like,
Why do you think you did that? Why did you go to sign those papers?
Because I was like, I was trying to get a commercial agent or whatever. This was like my first time ever doing this. And I was like, I didn't want to be like, and I also didn't want to be like, because I didn't know it was going to happen. I was like, I don't know what was going to happen. Yeah. I didn't want to be like, you know, like, oh, I didn't want to, and I didn't really know them. I didn't want to be, you know, I thought it was weird to be like, I can't come in today because I found out I have cancer. Yeah. You know, I thought it would be like really weird to do that.
You absolutely cancel work because of cancer.
Yes, like fuck that.
But you can't let it deprive you of the things that you want
like
out of life.
Like a commercial
agent. Right, exactly. Yeah,
no,
that's
but
a big
truly,
deal. Yeah,
like,
no,
that
I mean,
is like,
that, then you'd be, you know, I mean, it's already a hard enough thing, it's hard enough news to get to then have it take away the thing that you've been looking forward to.
Then
now
I
you can't
the
do
terrorists
that.
Win.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's not what we're about.
Uh-uh. No.
Uh-uh.
So, and what did you do? So how well do you remember like that week of just waiting for information? Like that seems like that would be maybe the
She must have calmed me. Like, she must have told me stuff on the phone that was like, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Yeah. Oh, I remember, like, what she said, too. She was like, because someone recommended me to her or something, this lady. And she was like, it's a well-worn path. And you know what I mean? Like, it's like so many people have had it. And there's like, it's a typical way to treat it and whatever. You're going to be fine. It was basically what she said to me on the phone. So I remember her being like, it's a well-worn path. But then I probably talked to my sister, too, because she had already had it and stuff.
Oh, right, right.
So I was like, I don't know. I think I was just, I was probably just crying a lot. And I think I had to make other appointments for stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe I made second opinion appointments or something like that. Yeah. Or, you know, I don't even remember. Yeah. I kind of don't remember that part.
Yeah.
But Or maybe I had to go meet oncologists and stuff, too. Okay. I mean, I remember I had to go meet a bunch of doctors in that beginning period of time to figure out, like, what's to do when and stuff like that, too. You know?
That's so crazy, too, that you would get such, like, life-changing news, like, such staggering, sort of devastating news, and then you have to do all of this, like, clerical work. Like, it feels like that seems so, like,
worst. It actually is weird because I will say that it is, like, I know it's weird to do like clerical work, but it is like, I don't know, maybe calming or something in that like you're like, well, this is what you do and this is how you handle it and I'm doing the right things or whatever and this is the way. And the other thing about it too is like when I had it, you go through treatment stuff, they don't tell you everything at once. Like in a very weird way, they tell you kind of each step at a time instead of being like, well, you're going to have to go have surgery and then you have to do this and blah, 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 blah. You know, they're like, because I just remember several times being like, well, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? like a whole nother thing. Like now you're going to have to do this, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Now you're going to have to do this. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, well, nobody till I thought we were done. Yeah, you know what I mean? And then that, it was like a lot of that kind of happening. But I think that they don't tell you everything so that it's not overwhelming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably most overwhelming situations, if we didn't think about them in like the macro sense, like everything that we had to do at once would probably be more manageable, just knowing that like, okay, if you do this thing and you get it right, then you move on to this thing and you get that right and you move on to this. It's like moving or whatever, you know, like it's not rocket science to move, but like if you think about all the things that you have to do to move, it would be too overwhelming to ever start.
True.
But at the same time, it's really difficult when no one tells you what the ending is going to be, because we look for that. Like, to like when you're watching a movie and it feels like the movie's over, and then there's like a whole nother, like every like Martin Scorsese movie, there's like 15 more minutes of like there's another bad guy or whatever. You know,
so it's having like, cancer is like watching a Scorsese movie.
Exactly.
Or moving.
The Departed. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So. I don't know. It was fun. It was cool. It was okay. It's all right. But it's interesting though, because even that, I didn't think like when my sister had it, my sister, I know she was like, "What if I die?" or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I never thought that at the time until like later. Hmm. Or like maybe when I was doing, maybe when I had chemotherapy, like there were times that I was like, like I feel like this is feels like I don't feel real. I feel terrible. Like I feel like so bad that it's like, I don't know if I'll feel better again. Like it's like so crazy that it is like, it's really weird. Cause it is it's poison.
Yeah.
It's insane poison that goes into your body that like poisons your whole system. And so, I was just like, it makes you be like, it's like you're being poisoned, you know, like really badly. So there were times there, but I never was like, you know, I didn't actually think like, oh, no, I'm going to die from this or whatever. I didn't really think that. I thought it was, I was like, oh, it's just, you know, breast cancer, whatever. People have it. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, then I like realized, oh, people do die from breast cancer. That's messed up. You know,
Did you realize that?
I don't know. It must have been later, or like maybe when I was getting chemo or something. I like didn't really think it, but then like people would come up to me and be like, "My mom died of breast cancer." Like people that I knew, like other comedians and stuff, would be like, "Oh, you know, my mom died," and I was like, "Oh, okay, sorry." You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it is it is terrible, but I was like, "Oh shit," you know, like that's people would, and I'm like, well. You know, and it wasn't even things that were that long ago or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, for my treatment, I was like the most aggressive thing that you could do, I did. Because I was young, you know what I mean? I was just like, I am so young that.
How old were you when you had?
I was, I thought I was young. And it wasn't that long ago. I was 34.
Okay.
That's crazy young.
Yeah, I think that's really young.
That's
pretty young. I mean, I wasn't 23, but, you know, I thought I was pretty young.
That's really young.
I thought it was really young, you know, and so I was just like, it is kind of a bummer, but I was like, I don't want to have to keep dealing with this again and again and again, and I think that's what would have happened, you know, that's what happens, and oftentimes, too, I feel like, I don't know, maybe not, but like sometimes people would be not super aggressive, you know, like with their, it would be like, oh, you got a lumpectomy, and then it would come back or come back in a different spot.
And what did you do?
I did a bilateral mastectomy, which is like both titties, yoink in the garbage.
Oh, is that what it says on all the medical paperwork?
Both
titties, yoink in the garbage.
Yeah, that's what it says. And I signed off on it, and I was like, yeah, that's fine, you can do that. But even, it is terrifying too, because you're like, what if they're wrong? And I just lop my boobs off. Right, you know, like, what if this is wrong?
Right.
And then I have a friend who is a doctor. And, like, you know, then you get the paper that shows, like, what it is, you know, like, what's, like, what it says they dissect them, you know, and it says everything that's, like, found in them or whatever,
oh,
you know,
wow.
after the thing. And I was like, this was cancer, right? It definitely was.
Right, yeah, 'cause
it's, like, you know, whatever. It calls them, you know, calls it, it's not just, like, cancer for sure. It's, like, all whatever medical scientific terms.
Yeah.
But it was. Yeah, it was cancer. It wasn't. But, you know, you're like, I hope I did the right thing.
Right.
Like, what if they made a mistake, you know, or whatever, right?
I think your first mistake was going to Dr. Yoink.
Dr. Yoink.
I'll take those titties right off, throw them right in the garbage.
But wait. But then there is, like, so then there is, like, a whole, that, like, that's part of the thing, too, is, like, there's, well, they give you the option, you know. They give you all these options. Like, you can have a... you know, a lumpectomy, a mastectomy, a bilateral mastectomy, blah, 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 blah. But every doctor was like, yeah, you should do both. Yeah, you should do both. Because I had the gene. That's why.
Oh.
And they were like, oh, that's why they were like, oh, knowing that, if I were you. And they were like, you could. They were like, we would never do a lumpectomy on you. Like, we would never do that. That's like
that's
off the table.
Just taking the lump, like, and
just
protecting
taking
the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
So how big is the lump? Is it going to be like a standard size, or is it different in everyone?
Yeah, it's just different in everybody. And like the The thing is, though, too, like, even feeling it, it feels way big, but I guess that's because there's blood and stuff and goo and whatever around it, right? But it's only, like, you know, a couple of centimeters in diameter, right? Like, it'd be
but
like...
But that's still, like, that's, big for a thing in your body.
It is big for a thing in your body, right? That it's not supposed to be there. But that's how they gauge, like, stages, too. Like, stage one would be, like, under 2 centimeters or something. Okay. And, like, stage two maybe is, like, 2 to 4 centimeters. I don't know. And then, like, stage four is when it's, like, in other places. Like, it's, like, went from your breast to, like, your brain or your spine or your lungs or whatever. Like, it migrated. Because your body is one organism, you know what I mean? It's not just your arm. Your arm is a part of your body that's all being fed with the same blood and all that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah.
Like, how different does the lump feel from anything else that you've ever felt on your body?
I mean, I didn't, like no, I wasn't, like, I mean, I was just like, oh, yeah, that is weird. It didn't feel, to me, I mean, to be honest, and I don't know, everybody's probably different, you know, It wasn't like a pee, you know. It didn't feel like a hard thing. It felt like a lump, like a like even ovally or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like even something that for women with fibrous breasts that have like, you know, that are like lumpy.
Yeah,
you know, they're lumpy. Yeah. You would never know. Yeah. You wouldn't really notice it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You wouldn't know. Honestly, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't be like, oh, this is the bad kind of lump, I think. I don't know. Like,
no, that's the question. Yeah.
Well, that's why they're like, you know, you have to do breast exams every month at the same time to get to know your breasts to see what they're like.
See what, like, where the natural lumps are. If new. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long did the whole process take of, like, figure, like, just being diagnosed then to feeling like you, like, do you ever feel like you're done? Or
I mean, well, I guess for the initial thing, right, it was like a year from go to go. You know what I mean? Like, from, like, last surgery, no more chemo, stuff like that. You know what I mean? It was like a year out of your life.
Yeah.
It was dramatic. I mean, I got fired from my job.
Really?
They fired you?
I got laid off, like, two days before I started the chemotherapy, because I had to do surgeries and stuff and then do chemo.
They laid you off?
Oh, yeah.
So this is the same job we're being called into.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's a whole other thing, too, because, you know, even to the HR person.
Yeah.
I was like, but I'm starting chemotherapy in 2 days, and my boss knew that or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So then I went to my oncologist, and I was like, look, I'm getting laid off or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, or someone told me to file for disability, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. So I had to go get my doctor to fill out paperwork to file for disability so I could still be on their insurance.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, like, so, holy, that would have been...
Yeah,
a nightmare. You would be living on a box in the street.
Right. So I was like, I was going to be like, can I sue them? You know, I was trying. I called lawyers. But, like, the fact of the matter is they are a huge bank, a ginormous bank, one of the biggest, based in Manhattan, named after a guy. but anyway, they were like, look, every lawyer that I talked to was like, look, they have rooms full of lawyers to not pay you.
Yeah.
Like, they have rooms full of lawyers to not pay you. End result is it's going to take years and years and years. And, you know, your maybe will end up with like $5,000, maybe, which was, you know, which is not good. And also, it, you know, I did a job that I got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then anyway, I was like, what am I going to do? And, you know, you're supposed to sign, you know, this paperwork that's like, I understand I was fired. Thank you. And then they gave me, like, a really terrible severance thing, you know?
You're kidding.
No. So then I was like, they laid off a bunch of people, but it was based on performance on your production numbers.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was on disability for 6 months while I was having, I mean, for 6 weeks while I was having surgery. So my numbers were low.
Oh, because you were out having surgery.
And I was trying to, like, say that and blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, so then anyway, what I did was I, like, went on disability, refused to sign the papers, kept refusing to sign the papers. Like, the HR person would be like, we really need you to get to sign those papers. And I was like, I'm not sure. I'm going to get an extension and blah, 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 blah. So I just kept refusing to sign the papers and just not signing the papers. And then, I mean, they probably would have gotten in trouble because I was out on disability.
Yeah.
And legally, they have to give you a job back when you come back from disability. Like, that's what's supposed to happen or whatever. So I kept refusing to sign the papers. And then the lady was like, oh, you know what? We were able to get you your year-end bonus. You know, we just need you to sign the paper. And it was like $30,000. Yeah. And I was like, all right, fine. But like what they wanted me to sign it for was like $2,000.
But the, fucking horrible.
It was horrible. But I was like, the thing is, I was like, big corporations don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I don't ever want to do this again. I never want to do, because I like worked in the mortgage business for like 12 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm out. I'm never going to go back to a job where I work for the mortgage business. I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to work for like a corporation like that ever again. You know what I mean?
So
it was a blessing.
Yeah, it was a blessing.
Because it feels like that happened at like a crossroads in your life where you were starting to, like, you were already involved at UCB, right?
I was already involved at UCB,
But do you feel like this experience, so it pushed you more towards going like all out?
Yes.
Or all in? All.
Balls to the wall. Ballers. To the wall. Ballers. Every Sunday.
That's when you got ballers.
A baller.
Yes, I was like, I've really got to make a go of this acting thing. But I mean, honestly, at the time, though, when like that was happening, I was just like, I mean, I will say this, okay, at the time that was happening, I was just, I wasn't like, I'm going to go be an actor with my bald head. I was not, and I was just like, I was like, I'm not a person, you know, like, while it's happening and stuff. But I still, like, performed at UCB and stuff like that, right?
While you were getting chemo?
Oh, yeah. While I was getting chemo. Uh-huh.
What's the sickest you were and still performed?
I mean, I would usually do a show. I mean, sometimes I would miss rehearsals and stuff. And I mean, I was, like, I had, like, a bandana on and stuff.
That's insane. When I did it. That's amazing.
And also, too, I, like, talked to the artistic director, Anthony King, and I was like, Anthony, I don't know what to do. I have cancer, so I might miss rehearsal.
That's like the purpose, but it feels so important.
That was more important to me. And then he was like, he was the best. First of all, he was like, whatever you need, now's your time to be selfish. He actually like told me like good things.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I don't have to be nice to anybody. Yeah.
And you are never nice again.
You are nice again. It's very true. I was like, fuck the world. But he was very supportive. And I will say like that, like having the UCB theater everybody was very supportive. It was good. It was like, it was just like, thank God, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Cause it feels like that would have been the kind of thing that would have been so isolating otherwise.
Right.
And like also to have something that feels important enough and has like just enough pressure that there's like something that even if everybody would have been fine for you not, like, obviously everybody would have been like, yes, you're going through chemo, please stay home, but for you to feel so
like
compelled to do something.
Yeah, and it was like fun and you know, it was fun and enjoyable and good to like feel like I you know, was still, I don't know, I guess a member of society or whatever.
Yeah, and
you
have something that felt like it mattered other than just like.
Yeah, and it was fun. And also, too, like people would bring me stuff. You know what I mean? Like bring me food or,
that's
you know,
awesome.
Like whatever, like, you know, The Wire, you know, like a season of The Wire or whatever, stuff like that. So that was like, it was like very helpful and it was nice. It was like good to be part of that community, which I think, you know, which I think small towns kind of have or whatever, but like not if you were just like a, you know, a person who didn't have this. But
So do you feel like, so how do you feel like your perspective on like health and your body and like either like fears or not being fearful, like, how did that change from pre-cancer to post-cancer?
Well, I think more now. I think more now. I'm more paranoid. I think I'm more of a hypochondriac now because because of that or whatever.
I don't know if it counts as being a hypochondriac if you actually already had cancer.
But also, too, because, well, one thing is that, like, you know, you sign all the stuff or whatever, and they like, for chemotherapy, they're like, oh, it may affect your heart. You know, you may affect your heart. So I was just like, my heart's fucked, you know, and I would, like, I went and got, like, an EKG, and I was like, you know, like, because I was like, you know, I'm having chest pains, but it's like really hard too because like my chest still hurts. Like it's still a traumatic, traumatic thing.
Yeah.
So there's still pain. But like, so I'm like, is this a heart attack or is this regular? I constantly think I'm having a heart attack.
Really?
I almost always think I'm having a heart attack. I almost always think I'm having a heart attack. And even when you look up like symptoms of having a heart attack, it's like a fear that you're going to die. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know.
There's so much stuff right there.
Yeah.
Like, no matter. It's, and then where you would think, I remember like when I first started getting heartburn, which has nothing to do with your heart. It's your bowel.
Right.
But like it feels like where your heart should be. So I just always assumed that those were heart attacks.
Yeah.
And then you realize, no, your heart's like kind of more in the center, which is also where the lungs are. So, you know, I smoked for like, I don't know, 40 years. So, yeah, anytime I smoked twice in a row, I thought I was having a heart attack.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
If I'm like hiking and stuff, or when I work out and stuff, I like go real slow.
Yeah.
Like, whereas before, I used to be like, you know, like go the hardest and the fastest that I could and not ever think like my heart's going to give out or whatever. But now I'm like, yeah, and then I'm also like, I'm also constantly like, I think there's a tumor in my belly. You know what I mean?
Okay, you're saying that in a voice like it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's back. And so like for 5 years though too, you would get like tests and like blood tests and I was like, do you think I should get a scan? Should I get a scan? Maybe I should get a scan. And they're like, oh, no, you don't need that. And I was like, are you sure? Like a full body scan or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I would get a I would love to get a CAT scan. Like, I'd love it. I would love it. It'd be a joy to me. Give me so much peace just to get a CAT scan.
Yeah.
You know? Constantly. Every ache and pain, I'm like, oh, I do think like that. But that's not how. It's like crazy to think that.
Yeah. It's like, of course, crazy. But it like makes sense because you had the experience one time of being like, this is nothing. And then it was something that I feel like it's got to like fuck with your brain in such a significant way that you're like, of course, you would trick yourself into thinking everything is something.
Yeah, I know. It's real. It's real hassle.
Yeah.
It's a real pain in the butt.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Right? To think that way?
Yeah.
Well, but isn't everything something? And then it's just a matter of finding out how little of a something it is versus how like big of a, like, because we've had this debate about like WebMD that like, I always like finding out anything like that. The most torturous part of your story was to me was the week like that. Like, I mean, no, that's not true. But like the part that was like that would cause me the most anxiety was the part where I couldn't be proactive about it because the doctor was on vacation and then we have to wait. Because like you said, then as soon as like she came back, you get like super aggressive with it. You're like, all right, I'm going to kick this thing straight out of my body, which is the best way to be, you know, never to succumb to whatever it is that's ailing us. But yeah, just like knowing that this is what it is and this is what I do about it. That's like my salvation. The rest of the time I'm just in utter agony internally.
You know what I'm thinking about though? I was thinking about like that first week. It probably helped me to, like, for her not being around, it probably helped me to be, like, in a little bit of denial about it.
Yeah.
Still.
You know what I mean? The first stage of,
yeah. Yeah, it helped me to be in denial. Yeah. Like, it wasn't really true. When I started telling more people, then it became more true to me or whatever. Like, I was just like, it's a, like, it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing.
Well, it sort of makes sense that some people will get sick and then, like, never tell anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I feel like sometimes that'll happen. I'll be like, that's so crazy, or like that's so selfish. Nobody got a chance to like, you know, support you. But it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think even for those people who are like, you know, like they didn't tell anybody and they just were like, I want to die or whatever.
Yeah.
That I think that like, there's something unhealthy about it for them, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, tamp in town.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't true or something.
Yeah.
It's like them not fully accepting it. Like, them still kind of being in denial about it, right?
Yeah.
That you wouldn't tell other people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think it's more hurtful to be like, not tell your children or something like that. Like, I think that's more hurtful to be like, we didn't know, you know? And because it seems like you're like, oh, you should have been nice to me. I'm going to die in 3 weeks. it's such a weird concept to me. Like, why wouldn't you just be upfront and, you know, like, at some point, I don't think you can be like, we never knew mother was, mother seemed tired, you know, and you're just like, what? You know, like, I feel like you have to, you know.
She did seem tired.
Yeah, she seemed tired.
And then she was
dead. Mother!
mother, wake up from your nap, mother. Mother, your eyes are yellow.
Mother.
As are all of your limbs.
If mother was dying, she would have told us.
Well, okay, so speaking of symptoms, do you want to play a game?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's called McGoogle.
Yeah, it's called McGoogle. So I recently found out, I read an article about a new, like, way that, like, a new, it's not quite an app, but it's like something available. It's a Google service available to you, but just on your phone, on like the Chrome app. So, like, if you type in symptoms to Google now, then Google will like deliver a diagnosis to you or several things that might be the result of your symptoms.
Okay, did you hear about the thing where it was like pancreatic cancer? Like, no. Google could actually diagnose it if you research people. I don't know, something about like people's searches of pit, like you could tell it was like more accurate than people getting diagnosed by doctors by
that's
them
insane.
Googling.
We're gonna aim for that today.
What they had Googled. Did you hear about that?
Well, that's sort of but that's what we're aiming for in this game. But it's called McGoogle because what we're gonna do is we're each going to take. We'll each list off one symptom, sort of in a MacGyver sense, you know, like MacGyver would like pick a lock using like chewing gum and a toothpick and then like a Bible. So like we're gonna list three symptoms and then we're gonna MacGyver a disease out of it.
So let's all think of symptoms in our heads and we'll say them at the same time, so we don't. Okay. So we're not like building something intentional, right?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Okay. Do you have a symptom?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a symptom?
Are we going to go one, two, three, after
how specific,
three, one,
how
two, three,
specific
on
are
three.
We going with our symptoms?
Just like, whatever it would be listed in the thing, right?
Yeah, like anything you could like feel in your body.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to go on three or after three?
After three.
Okay.
Okay. One, two, three.
Cold sweats.
Legs.
Fatigue, cold sweats, and numb legs.
Okay, I'm typing
these
it
feel,
in.
These feel like they go together.
Yeah.
Fatigue.
I think all things I have.
Yeah, I have these too.
Legs. And
I mean, part of being a human and, you know, atrophying is these things, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I remember when it started to happen, like, for me. But, just where I was like, oh, wait, things feel just categorically different
now. But is it becoming aware of it or it's really happening? Like, do you think, like, when you were 16, you would be like, oh, my knee hurts and I just don't care?
I think a certain type of, well, no, I think less so then. I think there's a certain point. I remember for me it happened, like, around 30 where it was just my body started, like you said, to atrophy a bit. And then I was just like, I was aware of it. Being different, that like, and not so much the feeling being different, but that it wasn't healing quickly in the same way that it once did, you know, like where in that same way that like, you know, you'd get a hangover and then you'd start drinking the next morning. Then now, like if I stay out until 1 a.m, I have a hangover anyway. I don't even drink, you know, true story. All right, Madeline, what do you got?
Okay. So the internet in here is a little, okay. So basically, it actually just brought me straight to a WebMD page that told me what could be your problem if you were experiencing dizziness, excessive sweating, numbness or tingling, and shaking hands or tremor, which is like pretty – that's like most of
is
what
it
we
stroke?
Said.
What is it?
There are a variety of things it could be. It could be a middle ear infection. Peripheral neuropathy.
Oh, yeah, I believe it to be that.
which is a nerve condition of the extremities. Yeah.
I got a little bit of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ulnar neuropathy.
Yeah.
I have it.
Yeah, you got.
I got this one, guys. This one's on me.
Labyrinthitis.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
But that's also an ear thing. It sounds like fun, but it's an inner ear swelling thing. It could just be generalized anxiety disorder.
Yeah, it always could be that, right?
Or a panic attack, or it could be hypoglycemia.
Hmm.
It could be a mini stroke.
Didn't I say stroke?
Yes. It's a transient ischemic attack is the fancy name for mini stroke.
But see, this is crazy for these like really mundane things.
Right. To be all of these different things. It could be multiple sclerosis.
Oh Jesus. No.
It could
That's
be.
That's like terrifying too. And people are like, you know, I was feeling kind of weak and then I had MS. I and you're just like, shit, what?
It's insane. Oh, but and it's crazy that it could be like MS is on the same list as just a vitamin B12 deficiency.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's crazy. Like, there's so many. It also could be Parkinson's or it could be a chemical burn.
It's so stupid.
It's so many different things. It could be carbon monoxide poisoning, which is the thing I'm very scared of.
Oh yeah, that's
I'm
a nightmare.
Always afraid of getting poisoned.
I called and had the gas company come test my thing.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not that long ago either. Okay, I'll tell you how dumb I am. Is that I weatherproofed some boots.
Oh, you t-
This is straight out of a Madeline handbook.
Yeah.
I weatherproofed some boots and then like on my balcony, but I probably had the door open and then I left for the day. Then I came back in and I was like, it smells like gas. And so then I was like, went to go tell my landlord, you know, or the manager of the building just to be like, hey, could you just come confirm the smell? Because I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you have to call the gas company. You have to call the gas company. That was Ukrainian accent. Anyway.
It was really great.
Thank you. So then I did, and they came out, and they're like, the best.
The gas company's great.
They were the best. They were like, all right, what do we got here? Yeah. And they're doing
they
a
put
wand.
That wand
and
it's like,
yeah, they put the wand and you're like, thank you. And he's like, nothing. Okay, we're going to shut off the main, see if it's coming from wherever.
Ugh, I love it.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah. It was the best half hour of my life.
Anybody listening, tweet at the LA, what is it?
DWP.
DWP, yeah. Because the gas company, they will come to your house.
I mean, it's just called the gas company, right? DWP.
Oh, yeah,
it's
SoCal Gas.
SoCal Gas.
Shut up.
SoCal Gas came to my house twice. One time, years apart, one time
but
they came.
But you did have a gas leak.
I did have a gas leak.
Yes, see?
SoCal Gas came to my house, identified my gas leak, turned off my stove completely, and saved my life.
Yeah, see?
You got it. Shout out to SoCal Gas.
You got to shout out to SoCal Gas.
Okay, so let's do three more symptoms.
Okay.
And see what else. See what this will be our finale disease, so think of a good one.
Okay. Come on, Dr. Zoink.
Okay. What? Oh, does everybody have one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. One, two, three.
Sinus
urination.
Whoa. So we have it coming out of both sides. Liquid.
We have
diarrhea.
Constant urination.
What was yours?
Sinus pressure.
Oh, what if that was causing it?
Oh, yeah, too much.
Oh, like I'm sure it's like Zika or whatever.
Zika.
There is no diagnosis for all of these things together. Oh, actually, yeah, kind of. Cough, fever, frequent urge to urinate, and frequent urination. I'm going to assume there's diarrhea. I couldn't find anything with both urination and diarrhea. But if you have a lot of urinating and sinus pressure, it could be a UTI.
Yeah.
It could be a common cold, but I don't know why a common cold would make you pee more. Because you're drinking a lot?
I guess.
It could be bronchitis. It could be asthma if you're a child.
Oh.
Okay, so.
Little asthma boys got wicked diarrhea.
It could be type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, see,
that's
I was thinking like, I think sinus pressure equals brain tumor.
But also, it could be congestive heart failure.
I guess.
Or TB.
Yeah.
Or valley fever.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's valley fever.
Anybody
for sure.
Heard of valley fever? Do you know what that is? Yeah. You know what that is?
It haven't flown to Arizona where I'm from.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Whoa.
Most people will get valley fever in Arizona.
What?
Is it like, is that like an allergy? Is it like hay fever in where I'm from?
It's a fungus.
Oh, I get those.
It could also be sickle cell.
Ugh.
It could be something called a thyroid storm.
Ugh.
It could be an aspirin poisoning. It could be drug withdrawal. It could honestly be anything. It could be Crohn's.
Eek.
It could be bladder cancer.
All right, let's give it one. Let's give it one more symptom so we can narrow this thing down.
Oh, we're gonna add.
We're gonna add one symptom. Alexis, give us a symptom.
Nosebleeds.
Oh, okay. That's gonna go nicely with the sinus pressure.
Yeah.
It's coming out of all three. It's
the pee, the poop, the blood, and the pressure.
Yeah, from the front, the back, the nose.
Diarrhea, fatigue, headache, and nosebleeds.
Yeah.
Number one is nasal irritation.
Oh, no. That got my grandpapa.
Okay, sleep apnea.
That got Mitch.
But also MS.
Oh, no.
Again. What a nightmare.
Also MS type 2. Yeah. I think WebMD might just give the same list of every disease for all of these.
You know what I think? But I think that like WebMD is like sponsored by MS and diabetes. And so that's why it comes up in all the searches, man. They're like sponsored diseases and they
WebMD
pay extra.
Supporting the MS industry for years.
WebMS.
Oh, big business MS.
It could be MS. It could be traveler's diarrhea.
Traveler's diarrhea.
Yeah, it could be depression.
I'm always constipated whenever I travel.
Me too.
So what is traveler's diarrhea? That's like...
The only time I ever had traveler's diarrhea is when I ate a pile of raw meat in China.
Oh.
And then I had the most traveler's diarrhea or food poisoning, whatever you'd like to call it.
Awful.
I was in Beijing. I had to spend a night in Beijing just out in the world because my flight wasn't until like very early. And I was like traveling with a group, but we weren't leaving together. And so I made this friend on the plane who I met up with to just like walk around Beijing with for the whole night. And he took me to a restaurant where they served like beef tartare basically. So it was like raw egg and a pile of beef. And then he took me to a club and I had the most diarrhea of my whole life in the bathroom of this club in Beijing. And it was all like old white businessmen and young Chinese women.
Oh, Jesus.
It was like.
Was there like a line for the bathroom or no?
There was not a line, but there were like a lot of people in the bathroom. But I just like. I left it all at the door.
That sounds like a place where you would be like purchased.
Having severe diarrhea is kind of like the least dangerous thing that happens from a story of like, I made a stranger friend on the plane and we decided to stay out all night in Beijing. That's like the least terrible thing.
Because also the later part of that story was then he was like, oh, I'll drive you to the airport. I just need to sneak my dad's car from visiting his dad who lived in Beijing. And he was like, let's like go to my dad's apartment and I'll take his car, but he can't know. And then I was like
to be quiet and put on this blindfold. And then I have to tie your arms behind your back. And then I'm going to slit your throat, but he can't know.
I was 20 years old. And then I was like driving in the middle of the night by myself with this man I met on the...
You did?
Yes.
Oh my God, Natalie.
But I'm fine. I got to the airport.
You did. You were like, okay.
It was fine.
Oh my God.
Folks, tell us about your Beijing diarrhea stories.
Hashtag Beijing diarrhea. Please hashtag Beijing diarrhea if you were kidnapped in Beijing.
Or, you know, any severe diarrhea story, we'll take it out. Throw a hashtag. But we'll still call it
Beijing diarrhea.
Yeah, Beijing diarrhea.
Well, I mean, just on the note of my own diarrhea story, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. It was really great. And thanks for telling us all about cancer.
Oh, sure. You guys, I can go on for days. Go on about it for days. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.